Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
And as we look at it, it's one of those scriptures to me when I was a little guy. It's one of the first scriptures I read in the Bible. I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. It's one of the first scriptures I read that I remember reading because it stuck out to me so much. And it's Jesus giving some instructions, you know, as he's teaching. And he said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." It's one of those scriptures that was just like, wow. You know, he goes on to say, you know, if you just love people who love you, you're no different than anybody else. One of the things that's going to make you different and stand out is going to be this. It's going to be this kind of love. And as I began to go through and begin to read the Word of God, I began to find out there's a lot of other scriptures that are just like this. You know, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. The last thing in the world you feel like doing at the point somebody, you know, that's some strong language. Those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and those who spitefully use you. I mean, there's malice in that. There's snideness. There's just, and in the worst context, to love and bless and do good and pray. It's like you don't feel it. But you know that's the right thing to do. There's other scriptures too where you can see, you know, Jesus says, when you've missed it, when you've sinned, when you need mercy, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling guilty, the last thing you feel is boldness to come boldly before God to receive. There's just something missing there. Or another, I'm just kind of throwing a few of them as I'm thinking of them. They're kind of like this. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. You know, when you're in need of stuff, the last logical, sensical thing in the world to do would be to give. Give. I mean, giving real money. In an offering or something. My goodness, that's money. I need money. I'm giving. I'm doing good. I'm blessing. Or be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with, you know, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'm anxious. I don't know what's going to happen. Something's not right. I don't know the answer. And God's just saying, turn it into a prayer request and cast it over on me. No, I want to figure this out. I want to figure it out. I don't want to give that money. I want to use it and incorporate it. I don't want to have a giving heart right now. I'll have a giving heart later. You know, when I make that first million, I'm going to be the most givingest person you can see. This is the way we think naturally, okay? And, you know, I'll forgive that person maybe if they come and grovel a little bit. Maybe I will. But we see, even though all these different situations have different relational and emotional components and aspects to them, all of them have something very in common. They're all identical. It's all the same situation. Whether you're talking about feeling yuck and receiving mercy when you just don't deserve it, it's just, or giving that kind of mercy when they don't deserve it, or just giving of yourself or casting cares on the Lord or healing, you know, to believe God that he's going to somehow supernaturally do something in my body, you know, 2,000 years later, really? It's just something that's, this is what I'm simply calling in the message this morning is understanding the awkwardness of faith, okay? When you get to all those different little inflection points, it's the same issue. I know it's different aspects of our life, but as far as God's concerned, there's just this aspect of faith. And there is an awkwardness of faith. And we bump up against the awkwardness of faith, and sometimes we think, man, if I was a real Christian, I should be able to just forgive, right? Or give or whatever, or cast my cares in the Lord. I remember fearing that first time, cast your cares in the Lord. I thought, well, that sounds really cool. You did that, and about 5 seconds later, it boomerangs back on you, and you go, wow, I thought this was supposed to be cast in the Lord. You know, so what's the awkwardness of faith? And I guess my heart this morning, as we're talking about the awkwardness of faith, is for you to understand that if you're feeling a little strange about just doing what God has said in His Word, you're not alone. And you can understand, that awkwardness is understandable. And when you understand that awkwardness, it's going to give you, I believe, it's helped me to overcome it and to walk through. And to walk by faith and not by sight. Because that awkwardness, the things that you're feeling, you know, sometimes people refer to something as, well, we like to say, door of life where faith meets real life. We like to say, take concepts and break them down to real everyday practical terms that you can understand why things are working the way they are. It kind of helps. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just go under the hood, as it were, on faith, and not just faith in general. We're going to go under the hood on the awkwardness of faith. Why do I fight to do good to those who hate me? Absolutely hate me. Why is that a struggle, and is it awkward to do good? There's a reason. And as we understand that, though, I think we're going to understand, too, that there's a lot of amazingly good things that are going on in the awkwardness. It feels uncomfortable, but good things are happening when we walk by faith in the face of that awkwardness. Okay, so let's go. As we're talking about the awkwardness of faith, you've got to understand, first of all, within that those inflection points, there is a denial of self. Again, talk about forgiveness or what you would like to do and casting your cares. There's a desire for self to want to fix things, a self to get revenge, that self. And so that feeling of, ugh, praying for those who spitefully use me, that's a very unselfish thing to do. There's a part of self that you're coming in contact with. Now, let me just say this too. You can get strong in faith, okay? I'm not saying that every time you're walking in faith, it's always going to be awkward. You can get strong and developed where you get some history and patterns and growth and you believe and that's growing and you have an overcoming faith. That's great. But most of the time when you're starting out in faith, it's going to be awkward as you're learning to grow and to develop. And even if you've been walking with the Lord for years, it's still going to be bigger mountains and things that you're going to be overcoming. But as we're talking about the awkwardness of faith, the reason why it's awkward is because there is a denial of self going on. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay? And so there is a unknown losing of self. We understand that. You know, if I'm trying to save my life, I lose it. But if I lay down, if I'll deny myself, I'll find my life. Galatians puts it this way. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other so that you do not do the things that you wish. I like to say there's two you's in there. You don't do the things that you wish. There's that inward man that wants to do what God wants, but there's that selfish outward man. And when you're coming in conflict with some of these things, you realize that there is a denying of self that's going on. This is the final scripture here I just want to look at. 1 Peter 4 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves like also with the same mind. He was suffered in the flesh, has what? Ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. We've spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And so this is just an example, but as we're understanding why faith is awkward at times is because there is part of us that's dying. in that, okay? There is part of us that we're losing. And it's we're losing for a purpose, though. What did Jesus say? You're not just losing yourself to, you know, live in some kind of a self-abusive life. No, there's a losing of yourself to find it. In the losing, you know you're finding something. Even the people who've suffered in the flesh, you know, I'm not suffering in the flesh so that I can be holier than thou and point out and be critical of other people's sins. I'm suffering in the flesh so that I can live the rest of my time for the will of God. And you realize that as things are going on here, there is an awkwardness, but in that awkwardness, you know what? This doesn't feel good. I don't really feel like praying for that person right now. But I know that as I'm just praying for them in faith, that there's a part of me that's dying and it's good. There is a hatred and anger. You know, when you look at the works of the flesh, hatred, anger, bitterness, all that stuff that we just inherited with the human condition. When we start to love like Jesus tells us to love, there is a losing that's going on. The way we think, the way we pride ourselves in revenge. We're taught in a world to pride yourself of revenge. And God teaches the exact opposite. Those who spitefully use you and persecute you, pray for them. Do good. There's a losing, that awkwardness. Why does that scripture seem like I'm being a doormat? You're not being a doormat. You are dying to your flesh. And you're finding something. Something good is going on. At that point of awkwardness, this world seizes and gets on your case. You know, there is a scripture I didn't get included in my slideshow here, but the scripture is in Romans 8. It says, we are not debtors to the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. What does that mean? We have no moral obligation. We have no moral obligation to the fallen condition and appetites of this body. We have no moral obligation to it. In other words, this body calls you. Anger, hatred, bitterness, all the poles, and all, you look at all the different works of the flesh, they're calling you. Like on the phone, they're ringing you up. You have no moral obligation to answer that phone. None. None. We are not debtors to the flesh. Again, the world is the exact opposite. The world we live in says you are a debtor to your flesh. You're a debtor to every impulse that passes. You're obligated to have to explore it all. You are not obligated. You're not obligated. There's good denial. What do we mean by psychological? There's a psychological process from just kind of a technical standpoint. The psychological process by which painful truths are not admitted into an individual's consciousness, okay? There's that kind of denial where I'm just pretending like it doesn't exist. I'm not pretending anything here. I know it exists, and I'm denying it access to my house. I'm denying it access into my life. I don't have to be bitter. I don't have to stay bitter. I can choose to forgive by faith. Is it awkward? Yeah. I'm not going to be, you know, it's the awkwardness of faith. Part of that awkwardness is you're just a dying to self. It's going on. There is a losing of yourself to where you're going to be finding yourself. You know, that place where you feel bad, you're horrible, you promise God you never do that again. And lo and behold, here you are again. At the throne of grace. And a lot of times, it's our own pride that'll just keep us from going in and receiving mercy and grace. They'll say, hey, no, this isn't about me. I so appreciated what Kaylee was sharing this morning, too, about, hey, this is like normal people, God just doing supernatural things. Not because I'm so special. I'm just obedient. I'm just doing what God called me to do. You know, you can just be obedient and say, God, here I am, boldly coming boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and finding grace to help in time of need. I'm not negotiating. I'm coming boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help. That's dying to pride. That's humbling yourself. That boldness is absolute humility. It's not arrogance. It's totally saying, here I am, and I only know, Lord, where my sin has abounded, your grace is much more about it. I'm so glad it has. Thank you. Washing, cleansing, restoring my conscience, cleansing my conscience to serve the living God. Thank you, Lord. You're dying to self, dying to pride, dying to different things. That awkwardness of faith, don't be intimidated by it. Good stuff is going on. There is part of you that is dying that needs to die. We are not debtors to the flesh. And this is what it says. I'm going to just go ahead and read it out of the Bible. I realized today when I was just that I had it in my mind and I didn't put it up there. But here's the way it reads. This is Romans chapter 8. It says, and this is in verse 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so that's really what it's saying. You're not a debtor to the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It's not, oh, I thought that, now I got to do that. No, we don't. Praise God. There can be an uncomfortable awkwardness of a dying. You know, I like what the Scripture says here. It says in, I think I lost my deal. Anything change up there, Emily? Okay, got it. All right. So I guess it backed up all the way. Okay. Sorry. All right. So, you know, he said, deny yourself. But Galatians says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that is such the powerful truth. And when we look at the flesh and all those different things that are going on, you know, the laundry list of the flesh, the sexual sins, the emotional hatred, anger, wrath, bitterness, all that stuff, all those different battles, the Scripture simply sums it up, says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. When I'm at that inflection point of I want to throttle the person who hates me and has been speaking bad about me, when I say no, I'm going to love them. I'm going to bless them, Father. I pray for them. I bless them. I do good. Lord, just show me how to pray for this person. Show me how to minister. Show me, Lord, I want them to be blessed. I want them to know your love. Draw them, Father, deeper into you. And all of a sudden, you get your mind focused on spiritual things. And when you're tuned into that channel, you can't be tuned into that channel. And pretty soon, when you begin to get spiritually minded, when you set your mind on things above, you get spiritually minded. When you're spiritually minded, Romans 8 says it's life and peace. I'm not trying to make peace. It just happens. When I will walk in the Spirit, and that's what Jesus is getting you to do when he says, bless those who curse you. He's getting you to get focused on the Spirit. He knows there's life and peace there. He knows there's grace there. There's forgiveness there. There's healing there. And there's also part of you that's dying. There's part of you that's absolutely being changed. And it's a pretty cool thing because when you walk in the Spirit, not only do you not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but you bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All of a sudden where you used to be vindictive, there's patience and mercy and compassion there. Well, what's going on there? That's part of that old you is dying. There is part of that awkwardness is what I'm saying is don't be afraid of it. Don't be scared away from it. Don't let the world intimidate you away from it. You're not intimidated. You are not obligated to your flesh. You're not obligated to be bitter and hateful and mean in that sense. You are obligated, praise God, to just put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. How? Walking after the Spirit. And that's how it puts to death the bitterness and things like that. But there's also another aspect to this understanding the awkwardness of faith. And so there's a spiritual wrestling, okay? In other words, what's going on here is you begin to understand walking with God and living for God is it's not just us in a test tube or in a laboratory keeping track of our thoughts, thinking right. There's other stuff at play in our existence as you take inventory of your existence. And this is what the Scripture says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You mean there really is a devil? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Part of the awkwardness of faith that you experience is not just the dying to your own passions of your selfishness, but part of the awkwardness that you're feeling is the pressure of the world we live in and the spiritual forces that are at work in this world. We're wrestling. I wrestled in junior high and high school. And I know what wrestling is like. Wrestling is work. You know, one moment you're on top, the next moment you're on bottom. And you might find that as you're overcoming things in your life. You're on top, God is on the throne, he's good, and yes, praise God. And 2 hours later, maybe it's like, wow, I'm fighting something. Well, you know, you're on the bottom. You're in a wrestling match. You're wrestling against powers and principalities. Again, in other words, there are things that are beyond even your natural selfishness that you're dealing with here. You're dealing with spiritual forces. And the scripture says that you're wrestling. And he, very specifically, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against. So he's connecting demonic activity with spiritual stuff that's going on in your life. In other words, when you're at that point, there is a, you know, we have a sympathetic Lord, Jesus Christ, who loves us. Come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have a high priest who hasn't been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points as we are yet without sin. Therefore, come boldly, receive that mercy and the empathy and the understanding of a loving, compassionate high priest. He's there to give us grace and mercy to help in our time of need. That's one kind of compassion. But when you're wrestling against these powers and principalities, they have another kind of compassion for you and another kind of understanding and sympathy for you. And that's the sympathy that says you are a debtor to your flesh. Yes, you poor thing, hurt, kill, destroy, lash back, be vindictive, all that kind of stuff. In other words, you're already dealing it with the natural tendencies of self that you're denying, but you've got these forces that are at work too. There's a spiritual wrestling, powers and principalities that are agreeing with your selfishness. This has helped me. This has helped me when I'm at an inflection point of, oh, and I don't want to forgive and I want to be bitter, to all of a sudden realize, you know what? There's some powers and principalities that are amening my selfishness right now. They're saying, yes, you're right, you poor thing. And all of a sudden I realize, you know what? I'm in agreement in my self-pity. I'm in agreement with the wrong spirit right now. I should not be finding comfort, you know, with bitterness. I should not be, and this is worldly comfort. This is the way the world comforts. It is glorified flesh. Glorified, justified flesh is all it is. What the scripture says, the counsel of the ungodly. Sometimes the counsel of the ungodly isn't always just people that you're talking to. It's some of these powers and principalities. You know what the scripture says, the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's not a physical lion. That's thoughts that are being bombarded in your head. He'll turn up the volume on thoughts in your head. And so that awkwardness of faith that you're feeling, I don't want to forgive, you're dealing with some of that stuff too. Why is this important to understand? Because when you understand your enemy and how he works, you realize, hey, no, wait. This is all beatable stuff. There's nothing I've put up here on the screen that isn't beatable in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He spoiled all these powers. He spoiled all these principalities 2,000 years ago and made a show of them openly on the cross. I'm wrestling against them, but they're defeated. There's an awkwardness of faith because there's spiritual warfare going on. There's an awkwardness of faith because there's a natural selfishness battle that's going on. It doesn't mean faith isn't right. It doesn't mean that Jesus was being too idealistic in praying for those who... No, he was right in its truth, and it's the sword of the Spirit. It won't make you a doormat. It will make you powerful in Christ. It will cause the Spirit of God to rise up on your behalf in a way that you can't in your own self. There's an awkwardness of faith, but here's part of it. As we're talking a little bit about the spiritual side, I just wanted to touch on a couple things. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Think about that. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Man, when you're addressing the awkwardness of faith, and we talked about denial, we're not talking about denial that I'm pretending something doesn't exist. No, I'm just denying it access. In fact, the opposite is true. When you're really living for God, you're taking every thought into captivity. It's the exact antithesis of denial in the sense of pretending. You're not pretending anything. You're saying, where do you line up as it comes to the knowledge of God? Is this right? Is it okay to have a little self-pity, a little bit of hatred, a little bit of, no, none. I'm going to pray, I'm going to bless, I'm going to do good. And you begin to find yourself as you're fighting some of these little battles, these mind games. It's like, I'm not nitpicking little stuff. I'm just going after God. I'm going after love, and I'm going to begin to fill my heart and my mind with the Word of God. And so you begin to see different things happen. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Again, this is spiritual stuff I'm talking about this morning. I know this is like spiritual man, spiritual woman stuff this morning. It's spiritually discerned. Natural man doesn't receive this stuff. It's just, you know, whatever. It's your religion thing. But when you really discern things spiritually, you realize, wait now, this is it. This is it. God has given me things, understanding, you know, so that I would know and understand the things of the Spirit. So he's given me these things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'm not doing natural, I'm doing spiritual. I'm believing in the power of the Word of God. I'm believing, you know, there's a practical side to this. When I'm talking about spiritual wrestling, we've been kind of on the love walk one here as far as forgiving. Let me put it this way. If every time those forces, powers, and principalities stir you up toward a person to be negative and critical, and all of a sudden you just automatically begin to pray and bless and do good, and you just begin to train yourself to do that, I'll tell you what, the enemy's going to stop messing with you about that person. If every time you just start saying, Lord, just bless them. Lord, just minister grace and kindness and peace. Every time you're tempted to do that, those powers and principalities that are wrestling against you, they will stop wrestling against you because they're not in agreement with that. It's very practical, but it's what works. It's what works. As long as they bring that person up and you will feel sorry for yourself and go deep, they'll keep bringing that person up. But when you begin to do what Jesus says to do and you begin to compare spiritual with spiritual, hey, wait, no, this isn't right. Lord, I'm going to bless. I'm going to do good. Yes, Lord, bless that person. Minister life and peace. And you begin to do that in your heart, the enemy's going to stop messing with you. He will. It's not productive for him anymore to do that. And in ourself trying to reason our way out and try to heal ourselves, you begin to find out, you begin to walk this out in the Spirit. So there is an awkwardness. That's just the result of the spiritual wrestling. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, let him become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For as it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. There's kind of a repeating theme here. There's a worldly wisdom and there's a spiritual wisdom. And so we're having to make that decision. You know what, God? I am going to choose you. You've heard it said that you should love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. It's kind of coming full circle back to this, because this is really the bottom line. You know, there is an awkwardness, but I realize there's a spiritual wrestling. There's a spiritual battle in that. Finally, in the awkwardness, there is a finding, what I'm just simply calling a finding of self. Jesus started out by saying that, you know, if anyone comes after me, let him deny his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Praise God. And that's kind of where we're wanting to get to. When we can push through the awkwardness of walking by faith in these different areas and realize that, yeah, I'm dying to myself. There's a spiritual battle going on. That's why it's awkward. It's not because I don't have faith or I don't have the gift of faith or different things like that. You're just a believer in a natural world with a natural body dealing with stuff. But it's part, a big part of overcoming faith is understanding why faith feels awkward at times. But here's the deal. When we begin to stay with it, stick with it, something wonderful happens. The Apostle Paul, writing the Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren,
by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this is where the change really begins to happen. And this is where, I don't know, you want to say, the reward of going through that awkwardness of faith. Now, I'll just kind of be honest with you as far as, you know, my life and kind of the way it works a lot of times is you yield to the flesh, you yield to the flesh, and all of a sudden you get so frustrated that you don't care about the awkwardness part of it anymore. You're just going to do what God says. You know, maybe it's that person, you just realize, I've been dealing with this for years, I'm just going to, by faith, do what you said. I'm just going to do it your way. And there's just something about that. And I don't care about dying to self anymore. I'm not feeling sorry for myself anymore. I'm not afraid of the devil anymore. I want to be free more than I want to pet this thing, or I want to be free more than I'm going to be running and playing games. I'm done. When somebody says, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And all of a sudden, the awkwardness of faith doesn't matter anymore. Because there's something bigger at stake here. There's a finding of yourself where you really begin to change and you really begin to see yourself. You know, I'll say this, before you get to that point, it's a little scary to lose yourself. Because even though you're kind of maybe a grumpy person, you got this little rough edges, you know your rough edges, you're familiar with them, and you identify with them, and you're kind of comfortable. And it's new territory to all of a sudden not let go, to let go of that stuff and let it change who you are. Here's what I want to say in the finding of yourself. There's an awkwardness in the finding of yourself. Because you could be wondering, and you're thinking, okay, I'm mortifying the deeds of the flesh, I'm being changed, but what am I being changed into? Am I afraid of what I'm being changed into here? I'll tell you what, this is where spiritual, you begin to compare spiritual with spiritual, and you by faith realize, no, I don't have to be afraid to how, God isn't going to make me a kind of a weird little wimpy person with my head in the clouds and just kind of never really in touch with reality. Not at all. He won't. He's given you a spirit of a sound mind. That's part of who he is. When you draw near to God and the Spirit of God, he makes your thinking more clear, clarity of thought, the ability to connect dots in a spiritual reasoning way, and you're seeing things that you just couldn't even see before because you were so blinded by your self-pity. He changes you in a way that causes the new creation that he's made you on the inside to come out and have full expression. You know, who you are on the inside is muted by selfishness. It's muted by those things. And that's what Jesus said, you begin to find yourself. And this is where by faith, you are going to love who God has made you to be. You think, wow, you can misinterpret things as being soft or weak, but you're in that place where somebody says something and does something, it just doesn't even faze you. And you think, man, a year ago I would have been berserk. Now I'm not. Love, joy, peace, patience. But there was some awkwardness of faith that you realize and you're going to push past. I don't care. I'm dying here and it's good. I'm wrestling here and I will wrestle. I'm fighting. I'm contending for your word, Father God. I'm contending to push through. And what's happening? You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thought patterns are changing. Where I used to think a certain vindictive way, I'm now thinking in a certain, even as Christ forgave me, way. Changing the way I think. A spiritual mindedness. I'm getting traction spiritually. I love the scripture. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's a beautiful picture. We with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. The Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He who began that good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it in you. There's going to be an awkwardness, though, and when you begin to change and say, God, can I trust where you're leading me? I know that the Spirit has encouraged me in time past. Where he said, you know, Ed, I'm a good shepherd. I'm not leading you into paths of flakiness. You know, I'm leading you into paths of righteousness for my namesake. He has a vested interest in you being solid, being a good example, and enjoying your life. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Don't be afraid. You know, again, the world, competing forces that we have, reading the Bible is going to make you crazy. It's not going to make you crazy. If you continue in my word, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Set your mind on things above. Oh, man, it's amazing how simple the answers are, how simple the breakthrough is. It's not that I need a new revelation or a new book or a tape. I just got to get past the awkwardness of doing what I already know to do and letting God change me. But that awkwardness, when you feel it, you just got to know behind the scenes, there's a few things going on. There's a dying to self that's going on. We are born in mortal bodies with a PhD in selfishness. You didn't have to go to classes. We didn't have to send our kids to classes. You didn't have to send. It's in you. You just have a nature of the flesh. And so it's one of those things that you're learning. You know, I love what the scripture says. It says, regarding malice, be simple. Regarding malice, be simple. You think about that. You know, regarding love and the things of the Spirit, be mature. But regarding malice, be simple. What is malice? Malice is that kind of that backstabbing, underlying, undercurrented, you know, innuendo of hurtful stuff that's designed to get you. So be really good at not understanding it. Be children regarding malice. That's when you're growing spiritually. But I've got a PhD. That part of losing yourself is letting go of that PhD. You know, man chose knowledge in the garden, and he's been clinging to knowledge ever since. And faith is going to cause you to have to let go of that knowledge and begin to trust God and look to God and say, okay, here we go. Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I know there's an awkwardness in your pasture. Part of that awkwardness is my own selfishness changing. But I know, and it's not some self-flagellating, I just hurt me, abuse me, and finding some weird satisfaction in pain. No. This, what happens here is there's a losing of yourself, but there's a finding of yourself. There's a putting, you're arming yourselves likewise with the same mind that Christ had, against the war against the flesh, arming yourselves with like-minded against the warfare of the flesh, that you might, you know, do the will of God in the earth. And so as you're dying, you realize, praise God, it's like John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. When you feel that awkwardness going, you know what? I'm decreasing and he's increasing. There's more life, there's more expression of God. This doesn't feel comfortable right now, but I'm going to have more expression. You know, the same way physically, working out or doing something like that. It's uncomfortable right now. But boy, when you're done, you got more life, you got more vitality, your cardiovascular is better, da-da-da-da. Some of that stuff is true spiritually too. You're kind of going through stuff. It's not forever. It's just for a little while. That flesh can be put to death by the Spirit, and you can be free from that stuff. Also, there's a spiritual wrestling. Part of that awkwardness, even when you've made the decision, okay, I'm going to do the right thing, don't be surprised if, you know, you're coming across that spiritual wrestling match in your head too, where there will be roars. The enemy will roar things. And that's where you're going to say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm past the awkwardness of self, past the awkwardness of those roars. I love, I forgive, I do good. And I will. It's a resolve that is building up in your spirit. And I'm going to. Yes, it's awkward to my flesh. Yes, it's awkward to the demonic spirits in this world, but it's not awkward to God, and it's not awkward to my inward man. It's not awkward to the new creation that God has made me to be on the inside. In fact, it's very satisfying when I've done what I know God's called me to do. Anytime you've yielded to the flesh, you've never satisfied your inward man. In fact, when you yield to the flesh and you do something you know is wrong, your inward man is the first one to let you know. I'm not satisfied here. That's you. That's the new creation. Didn't satisfy that. But when you do something that is right, it is God, there's another satisfaction. Yes, that's right. That's me. That's the me on the inside. So I know faith looks so far out. Forgive, bless, give. Cast your cares on the Lord. I mean, but there's the same, you know, whatever, however you want to apply this. We just really applied it to love this morning. But you can take the same principle in every area. and just say, you know what? There's an awkwardness. I know this looks pie in the sky and very idealistic to the world, but the natural man, we've been given the Spirit of God that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We are spiritual men and women. We don't walk as mere men in this world. And as we begin to walk out the promises of God, say, okay, Lord, here we go. I know you know, and I'm going for it. And I just kind of say this morning and just let the Holy Spirit speak, because a lot of times we're dealing with things in our life that it's kind of like our Achilles heel or our kryptonite or whatever it is. That one thing that we kind of feel doomed to have to deal with. No, there's nothing. There is nothing you have to, from a standpoint of your own human having to sin. You don't have to sin. You can be free. You can cast your cares on the Lord. You can be free in every area of life. Will it be awkward? Yeah. But you know what? It's known. It's a known quantity. And good things are happening. So while you're going through that and you're praying for that person, well, emotionally you're just, but you're just praying by faith, you can know good things are happening. You're getting free on the inside. It's changing you. Okay? And that's just kind of my heart this morning. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. Don't shy away from faith because there's an awkwardness there. Good things are happening on the inside. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for just the truth of your word, Lord, that your word is true. And we know we live in a world where we're getting all kinds of very undermining messages about faith and trust and God. But Lord, our trust is in you. Our hope is in you. Jesus, you died on that cross 2,000 years ago for our sins. And the confession of our faith is that you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. We have made you the Lord of our life. Man, the whole reason we're here is because of what we experienced in you. Maybe some of us today just remember that first love. Remember the commitment that we made to you. It's all about you. It's all about living for you. This world is a vapor. I just pray that supernatural, divine perspective glimpse, revelatory glimpse. Just a few minutes, we're going home in your time. Days is 1,000 years. Couple minutes in your time, we're there. Teach us to number our days, to realize how important, how valuable we are to you. Yeah, we're going through stuff, but there's nothing new here. There's nothing new in my awkwardness. There's nothing strange. There's no exception to the rule as it relates to walking by faith for Ed House. It's just flesh stuff. It's spirit stuff. It's beatable stuff. The mercy and the grace, praise God, cleansing from all unrighteousness, the power of the blood in the name of Jesus to resist. Oh, we just thank you, Jesus. Whatever we're dealing with today, it's beatable. What does that mean? We can walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have to be intimidated by the awkwardness of faith. We'll just walk right on through in the name of Jesus. Don't care if I do feel awkward. Good things are going on underneath the hood this morning. There's flesh that's dying, selfishness that's dying. And I'm becoming less selfish. Oh, powers and principalities are getting resisted in the name of Jesus. And I'm being changed. The inward man is coming out a little bit more and more and more and more. This is all common to man stuff. There is nothing that I'm dealing with that's not common to man this morning. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I walk by faith and not by sight. All my situations are common to man. They're beatable. It can feel awkward to walk by faith, but that awkwardness is just flesh. It's just demonic forces. There's nothing new here. I can make a decision. My flesh is beatable. It can be put to death by the power of your Spirit as I, by faith, walk in the Spirit. Within that walking, there's a spiritual mindedness and there's life and peace, and I'm being changed
and you're finishing my faith, completing the good work that you've started in me. And Lord, I open my heart to all your changes. I desire the new man to take ascendancy in my life, for this new creation to dominate flesh, to resist the devil, to not walk as a mere man, but as a Christian. All creation groans, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Let the revealing begin. Let us rise up this morning and be who we are on the inside. We are in Christ now. You are in us now. And you're greater than he that's in this world. And that spirit is a spirit of power, is a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. Holy Spirit, live in me, live through me. Be Lord of my life, Jesus. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. The flesh stuff is forgiven. By the word of God, every power and principality is slain. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.